The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. Town Matters is here to inform Colonial Beach residents about issues you are concerned with from as close to the source as we can get. If you're on social media, you know that it's full of people talking about issues and events around town. It is rife with opinions about what's wrong with the way things were done, and it's full of misinformation. Like any form of gossip or retelling of stories, sometimes facts get misconstrued or completely changed. Our goal here is to find out the real story of what's going on straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And sometimes, to quote the venerable Paul Harvey, to get the rest of the story. My name is Ted Tate, and today on Town Matters, we're talking to Dr. Clint Mitchell, who is the superintendent of the Colonial Beach Schools. Welcome, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are just into the new year, and you are about to celebrate 1 year with your feet under the desk.
Yes, that's correct. It's exciting.
How do you feel?
Good. You know, I feel like we've accomplished a lot, but we still have a whole lot more to accomplish. It's been a tremendous ride coming up on a year, and I know I'm looking forward to what year number two brings.
I was looking through some things from when you did first start back in January of 2022. And you outlined some questions that you put forth to parents, asking some things like, what do you feel are our best traditions and values and beliefs? What are the strengths of the school? What are the challenges? You put out that questionnaire. What was the response from that?
The response has been, it's been great. I did not only interview parents, but I had the opportunity to interview the town mayor and town council. I interviewed members of the school board, parents, student groups, as well as the two principals. And I will tell you, I learned a lot about Colonial Beach. But one of the things that sticks out is how much pride there is in the school division.
It sounds like you did a lot of talking to a lot of people. You really did your homework.
Yes, because I really wanted to learn about what people value. I wanted to know what people love about the division. I wanted to know what people wanted to see change. And most importantly, I wanted to see what people's hopes and dreams were as we move into my superintendency. And I collected probably about 55 pages of single type notes.
Wow.
And that has been very, very, very valuable to me.
So you continue to use that, obviously, today?
I do. As a matter of fact, some of that work is being used to write our new strategic plan for the school division, because I wanted to make sure parents had a voice. I wanted to make sure that students and teachers, and I want to make sure that their voices are represented in terms of what we develop for the next 3 to 5 years at Colonial Beach Public Schools.
So tell me about the purpose of a strategic plan for a school district.
Well, the strategic plan is going to drive how we are going to operate for the next 3 to 5 years. It's going to drive what are the key areas we're going to focus on. And the purpose is really, you know, I look at it as a roadmap. When you come in as a leader in any job, you want to first assess. I think I spent my first 10 months, going on 11 months, assessing the school division, looking at the stakeholders, having conversations with them. And now it's really taking the things that they told me, the lessons I learned, and really trying to develop a long-term vision for the school division, where we are going to focus on maybe, you know, 5-6 goals that we want to do really well. And to do that, we've enlisted the support of Dr. Gregory Hutchins Jr., who is the former superintendent of Alexandria Public Schools, Alexandria City Public Schools, and he's now the CEO of a company called Revolutionary Ed. And he's been working with me and my team and about 21 committee members, to include some parents.
So this committee is going to be drafting the plan?
Yes. The goal is for the committee to really share their insights about what they know about the division. It's also for them to really review previous documents from the school division, the previous strategic plan, look at different artifacts that I provide to the board and the town, and then use that as a vehicle to drive the new strategic plan. And I'm hoping that I can have a product for approval by the school board sometime in May. So we are meeting on a monthly basis all the way until April, and I'm hoping that at the May board meeting, I can present the board with a new strategic plan that will forecast our work for the next 3 to 5 years.
And do you have a preview for us of what elements you think that's going to contain?
Here's what I'll say. That's a good question. I will tell you one thing I learned during my 100-day plan discussion with stakeholders. And I think you will see elements of that in the new strategic plan. And that is that most of the stakeholders shared with me the fact that they believe and feel that the community, meaning in Colonial Beach, as well as the parents, need to be a little bit more involved in the aspects and the day-to-day operations of the school, meaning that they wanted to have an opportunity to provide input, to be able to share their thoughts and be able to share ideas freely. And I think you will see elements of that in the strategic plan. The idea of bringing community together and also creating community and family partnerships.
So who was saying this to you, that they think the community should be more involved? Was this the parents or who?
I think it was evident in several of the interviews that I did. Elements of it came from parents. Some came from, administrators. Some came from teachers. Some came from just different political leaders in the district. Really just bringing the community back into the school setting has been something that people have been clamoring for.
So what I'm hearing you say is that basically from all sides, you heard varying people all say, we think the community should be more involved in the day-to-day operations of the school.
Yeah. It was clearly evident. They want us to be more transparent. They want us to be able to allow parents to have some input, which is the reason why I have three parents sitting on the strategic plan. I also have a member of the town council. I also have several of my teacher leaders, to include my administrators. So I think parents and stakeholders want to be able to be part of the process. So the goal here is to make sure that we provide an avenue for them to be able to do that.
It's one thing for parents to say, yeah, you should involve more parents in the process. It's another to get parents to step up and actually do that.
Yeah.
Do you see that as a challenge?
You know, I think I work in big school divisions from Prince William to Fairfax and now to Colonial Beach, and getting parental involvement is always a challenge. You have to be very intentional about how you go about doing that. So for me, I'm hoping that as we write this new plan, I want to be very intentional about creating a parent advisory council where we meet once a month throughout the course of the year during my tenure as superintendent, to be able to, one, share with them what's happening in our schools, be able to hear what they think about our schools, and probably the most important part is really to allow them to be able to provide some feedback on certain programs, certain activities that we are doing in the school division.
And how do you motivate the parents to do that? How do you make it exciting or enticing for them?
Yeah, you know,
it's a challenge, I guess.
Yeah, it's a challenge, but you know, in my experience, sometimes as educators, we make excuses, right? Oh, the parents are working two jobs. They don't want to be involved, or the parents don't have the time. But I say to that, it's nothing but nonsense. You know, if you really, truly want to get parents involved, you have to meet them where they are. So part of that is being active in the community, attending events in the school community, having conversations when you meet with parents. Sometimes it's riding the bus. I do that quite often. I stop in our bus stops. I speak with parents. I say hello. Sometimes it's being engaged in the local supermarket. And sometimes it's about you know, giving them a survey so that way they have some input. All parents want to be involved in their school process. All parents want to be involved in the education process. The problem is they don't know how. And so we as education leaders have to teach them how, and most importantly, we have to go to them.
Let's back up a little bit. You have worked for other much larger school districts. What brought you to Colonial Beach?
Wow, you know, I get asked this question quite often.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a couple of things. One, I have a mentor. And my mentor, when I was going, I was a principal for 16 years. I worked as a teacher in New York City in a big urban school district. I moved to the suburbs in Virginia in Prince William and Fairfax. Was a teacher there, became a principal. And after 16 years, I was ready for the next level of work. I really felt that I could have a much larger impact in the field of education, particularly leading a division. And then he said, look, there's this little place on the water called Colonial Beach. Take a look at it. And I did. And I fell in love with the scenes, the view. I did my research on the school division. While the school division was doing very well, I felt that there were pockets where I could bring my expertise in to improve it. So I applied. And taking the drive during my interview, immediately I felt like, wow, this is beautiful. I remember coming here years and years and years ago. But as I drove in, I just kind of fell in love with the place, and I was just hoping that I hope I get the job. And so, and since I've been here, it's about the people. That's one thing I've learned a lot during the last 10 months. The people is what makes the town. You have some of the nicest people who believe in our kids, believe in our district, and they have a lot of pride. That drift of pride comes out a lot, and it was one of the best decisions I've made.
It's interesting. You said you came here and fell in love with it. You're not the first person to tell that story.
I'm sure.
So I guess you moved down here.
Well, I haven't moved down here. I didn't move down.
Oh, okay.
I commute. Wow. Still, because my wife is an educator in Prince William, so I commute. But I do come to town quite often. I am here probably almost every other weekend. I come for events because I felt even if I didn't move, I still want to be part of the process. We come here to enjoy the restaurant, enjoy the view when it's warm. My wife and I and some of my children, we come often. And whenever there is a school-wide event, I'm here. When there's a town event, I'm here. Because I felt that even if I'm not there 5 days a week or 7 days a week living there, I want to make sure that besides work, I immerse myself in the school community.
You're listening to Town Matters on 88.1 FM. My name is Ted Tate, and I'm talking to Dr. Clint Mitchell, superintendent of the Colonial Beach Schools. What was one of the most surprising things when you came in for your first 100 days? You obviously would have had, as we all do, some preconceptions about what you were going to encounter. What was one of the biggest surprises that you were like, I didn't expect that?
And one of the lessons I learned from my conversations with folks is that there's this piece around culture. Now, culture could mean a lot of different things, right? But one of the things I learned about the culture in itself from the conversations, it had to do with the idea of how do we recruit and retain people? And that can come in many forms, you know, whether it's compensation, whether it's just, you know, having affordable housing for people to stay, whether it's being able to have for families, things for families to do in the town. And so during that process, I learned that part of the cultural change had to do with the fact that we had so much turnover because people maybe couldn't afford to live in the town or didn't feel as if that from a school level that they felt like they belonged. And so we as leaders have to go ahead and try to find ways to change that and give people a sense of belonging and give them the opportunity to be able to get the affordable housing. Because if we could recruit them and retain them and allow them to stay here, and we have a lot of teachers who come here many, many, many years ago and who are still here. But we got to do a better job trying to keep people here. As a division, you know, when you talk about turnover, is we also have to be strategic about where we recruit teachers. And we have to invest in people who are local, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to invest in people who are in Virginia. We get a lot of teachers, whether it's from Pennsylvania, New York, out of state, and that's great. But we have a lot of young people who have gone to college and who come back home, and maybe whatever they majored in, that's not what they want to do. So one of the things that we're doing right now at CBPS is we have invested this year in a lot of young teachers who are new to the profession, maybe didn't go to college to become a teacher, but what we're doing is we're trying to accelerate them through the certification process, giving them the professional development that they need to be able to become effective at the job. The good news about that is that because they're local, they're not going anywhere. So we've been tapping into that, and we've been very lucky. We have about 7 young adults who've graduated within the last 2 to 3 years who are trying to figure out what they're going to do, and we've gotten them to the job, and they're doing a fantastic job. So I'm hoping as we invest in the locals while we're here, that's going to give us a chance to change the culture, particularly around turnover.
It's almost like promoting from within.
That's correct. In education, there are what they call grow your own programs. And the grow your own program is when you have young adults who are still in high school who wants to go to college and be in education, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the school division may invest in them through tuition process. Some of the big school districts do that.
Scholarships,
etc. But this one that we're doing is we are growing our own, but we are investing in people who already gone to college, who are trying to figure out what am I going to do with my life. And so what we're doing is say, hey, we got education. It's a great profession. You can make a good salary and you could have a huge impact on children. But here's what we're going to do. And what we're going to do is we're going to pay you to go and get your certification by taking the classes that you need. We are also going to go ahead and allow you to take the exams that you need, and we're going to reimburse you as a school division. So that way it's not a cost on you, but an investment in you putting the time into the division.
What gave you this idea to do this program?
Well, it's, you know, that's a great question. You know, I think as I met people during my 100-day plan, I heard a lot about the people who went to school, came back and work in the town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of our mayor. She went to school, went to UVA, came back, and she's now in our town working and providing and giving back in multiple ways. And so as I was listening to my interview and reading my interview notes with her, that was something that kind of inspired me. It's like, wait a minute, you know, we can maybe do more of that on the education side. And she was now the only person. There were others who had gone away, came back to the division. And I started to just have a conversation with my team. Where can we find young adults, or how do we know, or who do we know? And so we spent time talking to teachers. Who do you know who have gone to school? And do you think they may be in education, or they want to come to education? And so we got the word out, and we were able to recruit some folks. But the best thing of all is always word of mouth. And if you have one good teacher, right, that loves what they do, that teacher knows somebody who may not be in teaching, but it could open up their mind of the possibility. And so once they give me the name, I just go get it and have the conversation and try to get them on board. So that's how it all morphed together.
I guess you never know where a lead's going to come from in the end.
No, you don't.
It sounds like a really neat program, and I like the idea. I mean, you were talking about how you get teachers from New York or wherever, but as you say, they might come here for a job, but the minute they hear about another job maybe that pays a little more, maybe they're immediately gone again because they don't have any roots.
Absolutely. And they have no ties there, right? Unless they meet someone in town mm-hmm. and get married. They have no ties, right? And that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And we have some people who stay there for 20, 30 years where it happened. But what we learned, or what we see, I should say, is that we see a lot of young teachers who they get homesick, they go back home.
Is there anything that you've done in the just 1 year that you've been here that you feel like, yeah, that I've done that and it's underway? This program you just talked about sounds like the answer to my question, but maybe you have another example.
No, we've done a lot. You know, there was a couple of things that we did. One of them is just from a safety issue. Traditionally, the school division has always had two lanes going right through the parking lot for dismissal. Now, when I took this project on, a lot of people were not happy, or maybe they felt like, I'm not sure that it's going to work. But we wanted to increase the amount of parking spots in the school district at the high school and elementary level. So I had a parking study done. So with that parking study, we were able to add an additional 75 spots. But one of the issues with that is that I had to move the entire arrival and dismissal process. So we did. So I moved it from the parking lot on First Street to the back of the school and come back to First Street. Most people didn't think it was going to work, but I'll tell you, it's been one of the best things that I have done because it is so smooth. It takes away traffic from the main road. And it's an easy process. I think that was one. The other things that we did, you know, we were able to, from a capital improvement process, we were able to pave the entire, you know, school parking lot. We were able to add new bleachers that people have been asking for a very long time in the gym. We've been able to, on the academic side, we've been able to implement a full multi-tiered systems of support. So any child who's performing below grade level, they now have an academic plan. And that academic plan is reviewed every 6 to 9 weeks by the principal and his or her team to include the reading and the math specialist. We then send communication home to parents. So parents know exactly what we are covering during the 9 week period. And what we've seen is that we're able to close the gap by moving children who are in the tier 3 to tier 2 and tier 2 to tier 1. So that's been a game changer for us academically.
You're listening to Town Matters on 88.1 FM. My name is Ted Tate, and I'm talking to Dr. Clint Mitchell, superintendent of the Colonial Beach Schools. Is there anything that you are excited about that I haven't asked you about that you want people to know about?
Yeah, I do. I have one thing that I'm super excited about coming up for the year. We applied for a school safety and security grant. I know across the country, whether it's Colonial Beach, from Omaha to, you know, all the way to New York City, school safety is always a priority for parents and community. And I want parents to know that as the division superintendent, that's a priority for me. I am collaborating very closely with the Chief of Police, Chief Deaver, on several projects. We do safety drills, but I'm excited about the fact that we were able to get a $95,000 grant from VDOE about 3 weeks ago. And the state awarded us $95,000 to implement or put in place a weapons detection system. So we are now working with trying to contract 2 to 3 vendors to get this implemented, hopefully before we end the school year.
So like TSA?
Very, very much so. So essentially, the same machines you go through for TSA or to a stadium is the same exact machine installing at our high school.
I see. Does the school now do active shooter drills?
We haven't done it before, but we will be.
You will. Okay.
We will be. That will be something that we'll be collaborating on with the police department because we want to make sure that we are ready just in case. But keeping in mind that we want to be proactive. And if that is updating our camera systems, which we have done, that was one of the projects that we did where we updated at our high school the entire camera system inside and outside. Now we're looking at a weapons detection system just to make sure that parents know that we are keeping the safety of their kids first.
Dr. Mitchell, thank you for coming in and talking to us about all of these things. It sounds like you're well underway in your strategic plan, and you're saying that people will be hearing some details about that in the new year and hopefully rolling it out in the spring?
Yes, that's the plan. We're going to roll it out in the spring, and along with that, we will also have a capital improvement plan that will forecast the next 3 years in terms of what we're going to do as a division.
And if parents are interested in this process, either getting involved or just keeping tabs on it, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way, parents can call us, but we will be sending all parents in the division. All parents will get a survey to provide input on the strategic plan. That is coming. We have done, so far, we've done student focus groups, we've done teacher focus groups, and we're going to do a couple of parent focus groups. So stay tuned for the information. We'll probably advertise it here on the radio. And then we are going to go ahead and get it on the social media sites, the website, on Class Dojo. We'll send letters home because we want parents to be part of that focus group, because I really want to know truly how people feel, because that is the only way for me to implement a comprehensive plan that's going to meet the needs of everyone.
You really do seem to be focused on stakeholders.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we're here. And we have to meet their needs. And those people who know me when I was a principal in Fairfax or Prince William, they know that parent engagement, community engagement is probably the number one thing on my list.
Well, I think you've picked a good community to get engagement from. As you've already learned, it's a bit of a tight-knit community.
Yes, yes, I have learned that. Thank you.
Dr. Mitchell, thank you very much for coming to 88.1 today.
And thank you for inviting me.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.